Welcome to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. We pray that this message will strengthen and encourage you. Now, here's a message from Pastor Joey Valcarcel.
Good evening, Rock Church. It's good to be with you, and what a privilege we have to come together this evening and to open up the scripture and hear from the voice of the Lord. Before we begin, let's go ahead and pray and bring our hearts before the Lord. Father, we come before you today in Jesus' name. Lord, we thank you for your word. And God, our prayer is simple today. We ask that you would give us eyes to see, ears to hear. God, we ask for attentive minds and receptive hearts. God, we know that you want to speak. Father, we know that you want to continue to work out this work of salvation in our lives. Transform us. Lord, there's still more to attain to. There's still more to understand. In fact, Lord, the things that we do have, Father, it's important that we hear them again so that we are strong in what you have established in our lives. And so we thank you for your work. Holy Spirit, you are welcome. We thank you for your voice in Jesus' mighty name. And everybody said, amen. Well, if you got a Bible, I want to encourage you to grab a hold of it. Maybe you've got it on your phone. Go ahead and open up that Bible app. I want to give you a few moments to turn with me to Deuteronomy chapter 6. Deuteronomy is in the Old Testament, about four or five books in. I don't know. I'd have to count to tell you exactly sure. But Deuteronomy chapter 6 anyway, and we're going to read a few verses, and then we're going to skip down and read a few more. And so in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse number 6, the Bible says, "And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and you shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorpost of your house and on your gates." Skip with me now to verse number 20. It says, "When your son asks you in time to come, saying, 'What is the meaning of the testimonies, the statutes, and the judgments which the Lord our God has commanded you?' Then you shall say to your son, 'We were slaves of Pharaoh in Egypt, and the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand. And the Lord showed signs and wonders before our eyes, great and severe, against Egypt, Pharaoh, and all his household. Then he brought us out from there that he might bring us in to give us the land which he swore to our fathers. And the Lord commanded us to observe all these statutes, to fear the Lord our God for our good always, that he might preserve us alive as it is this day." Now today I want to talk to you from the subject of following the lead of the Lord. And that title may be a little bit obscure after the verses we just read because from a superficial standpoint, they may not look like they go together. But what I want to do today is I want to share some stories from my own life, okay? And I'm going to support each point with scripture because you don't want to just hear from me or my stories or my experience. You want the Word of God to be the foundation that you build your life upon. Amen. But I'm going to share some stories from my life that we're going to pull some principles out of so that we can follow the leading of the Lord. Now, the scripture we just read, we saw, what did we see? We saw God establishing a means, okay, of passing on who he is, what he's like, what he does to the generations to come. We find him encouraging, for example, parents to teach their children. We find him encouraging people to talk about him and what he has done in their homes. And as they walk by the way, and in fact, write these things on your doorposts. And when you're asked, don't be afraid to, if you will, tell the story. And so that's why I'm going to be sharing some stories from my own life. Perhaps we could take a time out and we could just simply pose this question. When's the last time you told some of the stories of what God has done for you, to your children, to a best friend, to relatives, to a coworker? You know, the psalmist said, "I will tell of all of your wonders." Come on, somebody. God is worthy of being talked up. And we need to learn to talk him up, and we need to learn how to reminisce and to recount and tell the stories of what God has done, because what it does is it encourages the hearer. In fact, it encourages even the storyteller to remember what God has done for them, but it encourages the hearer to know the Lord and to see what he is like, and then in turn to experience the goodness and the faithfulness and the promises of God coming to pass in each one of our lives. In fact, this is so important. The scripture says that, you know, we just read it here about these people being brought out of Egypt and into this promised land. Of course, we know from scripture that Joshua was the leader and his eldership who led the people into the promised land and drove out the nations there. But you know, the Bible says in Judges chapter 2, by the time you get to Judges, the Bible says in Judges chapter 2 that after Joshua and his eldership passed away, that there was a generation who did not know the Lord, did not know what he had done. And so in essence, there was a generation that was lost and they failed in their relationship with God and they failed to experience God's goodness and God's promises. This land, they lost the land flowing with milk and honey because they lost them to incoming nations because they did not know what the Lord had done. And so it becomes vitally important for us to pass on the things that God has done in our lives to the generations that are to come. And so today, again, as I said, I want to talk to you about following the lead of the Lord. I'm going to be sharing some stories on how the Lord led me. What a comfort to know that we don't have to navigate life on our own. Come on, somebody. I don't know about you, but that's a great comfort to my heart and to my life, that when it comes to life, I don't have to navigate life on my own. What a supreme advantage it is to follow the one who knows everything. Ooh, there's nothing that's going to, no pandemic's going to catch Jesus off guard. No failing of an economy is going to catch Jesus off guard. No situation, no circumstance. Come on, somebody, no weapon formed against you is going to catch Jesus off guard. He knows exactly what to do, and he knows exactly how to navigate you through all the challenges and trials that life will bring to you. And how about this? What a triumph and what an accomplishment it is that at the end of our life, we would be able to say, hey, I followed the Lord. I ended up where God wanted me to end up, and I fulfilled his purposes for my life. My friend, God wants to lead you. God wants to guide you. No matter what walk or season of life that you are in, God wants to lead you, and God wants to guide you. This is part of his nature. This is his characteristic. This is who God is. He is a shepherd. He is a leader. He is the captain of our salvation. Come on, somebody. I feel like preaching. In fact, that's what I'm doing right now. I'm preaching. Are you excited about what God wants to do? Psalm 23 tells us, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. Watch this. He leads me. Look at your neighbor today and say, he leads. He leads me beside the still waters. Some of you are today, you're in need of some still waters. God wants to lead you into some still waters. So what does the next part say? It says, he leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And on the Psalms 23 goes. Hey, listen, Psalms 23 is not just a psalm to be read at a memorial or read at a funeral. Psalms 23 tells us of the shepherding and the leading and the guiding nature of our God. Come on, somebody. I love what the psalmist goes on to say in Psalms 19. He says, your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. In the New Testament, he's the chief shepherd. He's the captain of our salvation. And so all throughout Scripture, we find the leading nature of the Lord. I wonder today how much you want to be led by God, because God is always leading, or at least attempting to lead, his people. Amen. Today, following the lead of the Lord will be dependent on how well we recognize his leading, as well as where we look for God's leading in our lives. And so my prayer today is that you're going to gain some insights from some personal stories of mine in which you will be able to apply in your life from God's word in order to follow the leading of the Lord. The first point today is this: we are led by the preaching and teaching of God's word. We are led by the preaching and teaching of God's word. Some of you have questions in your heart God wants to lead you to the answer of. Some of you are facing challenges. Some of you are facing decisions. You need to make some decisions regarding, you know, your finances, your family, your health. Some of you, you know, you're facing decisions and challenges and these different things. And God, and perhaps you know what God wants, but maybe you don't know how to take the next steps to get there. God wants to lead you and guide you in your life. And one of the ways he does that is by leading and guiding us through the preaching and teaching of God's word. I can recall as a young man, now you have to understand, I was raised in church, okay? I grew up as a Christian, I grew up in church, and so all my life I've heard people talk about how the Lord speaks to them. You know, maybe wrong with me. And he didn't have quite the answer for me at the time, but he did comfort me, and he did say, you know what, Joey, you're not alone. We're all working out understanding what God is having to say. And so I want to encourage you, wherever you're at today, if you feel like God has spoken to you or not, hey, we're all learning how to hear his voice and to follow his lead. We're all in the same boat. And so there's no reason to get discouraged. There's no reason to beat yourself up. There's no reason to give up, cave in, and quit. You just keep on keeping on doing what you know to do, and God will lead you. And so a couple years later, I found myself at church, and there was a guest speaker who came that evening. And if I could be frank, I remember him being a preacher. And I don't know if you understand what I mean, but let me describe it to you this way. There is preaching and then there's teaching. And we need both in the body of Christ. We need people to come along, and there's an anointing to preach and there's an anointing to teach. We need both. There's people who come along and they under the inspiration and under the power of the Holy Spirit, declare and proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ. And then there are others who come along and they teach or they explain. Listen, you need some proclamation and some declaration as well as some explanation in your life. And that's why God has anointed different ones, different ways. We need the full spectrum. I remember this particular preacher. He was a preacher. And so, in fact, there are those who kind of treach, what we call treach, and that's a made-up word to say they do a little bit of both. And he might have done a little bit of both. But I remember him coming along, and his first point was about how God spoke to him. And he began to explain that, you know, God didn't have these long, drawn-out conversations as some others had explained. That's not to say that God doesn't speak that way, but he said the way God spoke to him was in little phrases, little things that God would drop in his heart. And sometimes they were little phrases from Scripture, and so he knew, I need to go and look that up in the Bible, see where what Jesus was saying there, and then he would find the voice of God and the leading of God through those little phrases that he would go look up in Scripture and find what God was saying to him. And so his first point was that he heard God speak to him, he who has an ear, let him hear! In fact, he took that right out of Scripture. That's right out of Matthew chapter 11, verse number 15. Jesus finishes a teaching, and he comes along, and he says, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. And you'll notice there in your Bible, there should be an exclamation at the end of that. Jesus, I believe Jesus was preaching. Jesus said in Luke, he said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor and to proclaim liberty to the captives and the recovery of sight to the blind. Jesus knew how to preach. And this man began to preach that he who has an ear to hear, let him hear. And in that moment, I realized, hey, I know God's will for my life. God's will is that I hear. I have an ear. You got to ask yourself the question tonight. Do you have an ear to hear? Then God's will is that you hear. God is not trying to hide himself. He's not trying to hide his voice. He's not trying to make it hard on you. God's will, if you have an ear to hear, God's will is that you hear. In fact, in Revelation, I love it so much, just in case you're kind of wondering, you know, okay. Revelation chapter 2 and 3, Jesus says the same thing repeated 7 times exactly the same. In Revelation chapter 2, verse number 7, verse number 11, verse number 17, verse number 29, in chapter 3, verse number 6, in verse number 13, and verse number 22, Jesus says, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. And I remember during that first point, I probably cried the entire first point because of the love of God and God's desire for me to hear. And I suddenly began to realize, hey, I had find his lead. Maybe you should ask yourself, hey, how much do you really want to hear? Because you got to have a want to. You got to have a want to hear. You know, there's people that don't want to hear the voice of the Lord. You've got to have a want to. You know, I could also say we live in such a distracting, if you will, time where everything is vying for our attention. And it takes a discipline to quiet our lives down, to set aside the distractions and say, okay, God, what do you want to say to me? Because, my friend, he's not in the earthquake. He's not in the whirlwind. He's not in these... it's the still small voice. Come on, it's the still small voice where God speaks to us. And when he speaks to us, he leads us and he guides us. And so I want to encourage you, keep on coming to church, keep on logging in or signing in online and getting the preaching and the teaching of God's word. Because quite frankly, there are certain things that, you know what, you and I are not smart enough on our own to figure everything out. Okay, and we need spiritual leaders, we need pastors, we need teachers, we need evangelists. God has set these forth in the church to equip us so that we can go forth and do what God has called us to do. Okay, so one of the ways that God leads us is through the preaching and the teaching of his word. Let me just throw one more verse at you. The scripture tells us that it pleased God that through the foolishness of preaching, he would save those who are coming to Jesus. And so God uses preaching. God uses teaching. Make no mistake about it. Point number two is this. We are guided by spiritual leaders. We are guided by spiritual leaders. I'll never forget, I was, again, in my later years of being a teenager, getting ready to graduate high school, and I was at another church conference. And God really spoke to me at that church conference that he wanted me to go to Bible college. And so he wanted me to pursue ministry. And so I thought, well, hey, you know, and it was in Orange County, by the way. And so I thought, you know what? Hey, God spoke to me here. God touched me here. It just so happens that this place has a Bible college. I think I need to go to this Bible college. Well, God spoke to me about going to Bible college. He didn't tell me where. And so what I decided to do is, you know what? I prayed about it. And we all need to be prayerful about, you know, our endeavors and the things that we set forth to do. Okay, but also we need to involve spiritual leaders, qualified people who are able to speak into our lives. And so I thought, you know what, let me make an appointment. And at the time, Pastor Jim, now you got to keep in mind this was some 17, 18 years ago in the year 2000. I set up a meeting with Pastor Jim. And I went to the meeting and I began to explain that, hey, Pastor Jim, I believe that God's called me to ministry and he wants me to pursue ministry by going to Bible college. And so I don't remember exactly how the conversation went, but we got around to what Bible college. And I said, well, there's this Bible college in Orange County. And he said, no, you don't want to go there. Okay. And if you know anything about Pastor Jim, you can imagine what that conversation was like. You don't want to go there. Okay. And I thought, man, you know, and it was a little bit of a discouragement to me because I felt like, hey, I prayed and these different things. But again, God spoke to me about Bible college. He didn't tell me where. And so Pastor Jim proceeds to tell me there's this Bible college in Tulsa, Oklahoma. I said, where? Is that even a real place? I know I heard of Oklahoma, but Tulsa, where is that at? That's in the Midwest. And so I'm sitting there thinking to myself, come on, somebody, I know you're with me. Orange County, Tulsa, Oklahoma. Orange County, Tulsa. I think God's leading me to Orange County. Come on, somebody. and he said, you know what, you need to go. And so anyways, long story short, the next thing I know, I'm headed off, you know, the remainder of my senior year, I applied, I was accepted. I'm headed off to Tulsa, Oklahoma with Luke and Dan and Jess and James. And maybe I should just make this statement to you that where God leads, he provides. And I had people to go with me. In fact, Bible college was paid for me. I didn't have to pay my own tuition. I had to pay my own rent and my own bills. Okay, but I went with a group of friends. Bible college ended up being paid for me. I lived in a safe place. And most of those students, man, they were hustling to get roommates and to find places to live. And we were so blessed to live at the time in a duplex. It was like a little house. We had a little house with a backyard. We didn't have no apartment. We were blessed. And so where God leads, God provides. And so anyway, I find myself in Tulsa, Oklahoma, and I completed the first year of the two-year program there. And it was during the summer I got news. Now, you got to catch this, okay? It was during the summer I got news that the Bible college in Orange County actually fell apart. The church fell apart. The pastor there was caught in what we'll just call some severe corruption. And that whole thing collapsed. And I would have been 19 years old in the middle of my Bible college training trying to rethink my future had I not listened to a spiritual leader, a qualified spiritual leader who said, hey, listen, I think that this is what is best for your life. And you know, today, if I could be honest with you, we live in a day and an age, we live in a culture that wants no oversight. We want no accountability. And I've got news, especially for my generation. It's time that you and I begin to hold in greater honor in our thinking the people that God has placed in our life to help lead us and to help guide us. Don't think for a moment that God won't use pastors, won't use spiritual leaders. Some of you have parents you need to listen to. Some of you have a lifelong friend. Some of you have qualified people in your life that you are not going to get counsel. I'm not saying not to pray. I'm not saying not to hear from God. I'm saying as you do those things, the scripture says that in the multitude of counsel, there is wisdom. And so don't think for a moment that you can go and do it alone and live fancy free. That's not how God designed it. That's not how it's going to work. And my friend, you're going to find yourself making poor decisions or wrong decisions without the involvement of other qualified spiritual leaders and pastors, okay? And as a pastor, I've seen too many people make, you know, life-changing decisions without ever asking for advice. You got to be kidding me. In Hebrews chapter 13, verse number 17, it says this: obey those who rule over you and be submissive, for they watch out for your souls as those who must give account. Let them do so with joy and not with grief, for that would be unprofitable to you. Once again, obey those who rule over you. Be submissive, for they watch out for your souls. Some of you are considering relationships. Maybe you're considering engagement. I don't think a pastor should tell you who to marry, but I certainly think you should go to a pastor and talk about what's the spiritual condition of your own life and what's the spiritual condition of the other significant other's life and what is God speaking to you about this. You need insight from an outside perspective. Hey, a pastor shouldn't go and tell you where to work, but before you up and move your family to a completely other state across the country and you make this drastic life-changing decision, how about getting an outside perspective from a qualified spiritual person? Now listen, some people will go and they'll go find people who will just agree with everything they say. That's not what I'm saying to do. I'm saying to find a qualified spiritual leader, if not a pastor, or you know, somebody that you know who's going to look at your life and be inspired by the Holy Spirit, give you the word of God, and help you along the path that God has for you. Let me read to you this last verse in Proverbs chapter 18, verse number 1. It says this: a man who isolates himself seeks his own desire. He rages against all wise judgment. Wow. I don't think you get any more to the point than that. Okay, so God leads us, number one, through the preaching and teaching of God's word. God leads us, number two, through spiritual, and I should have put probably through qualified spiritual leaders. And then point number three today is this: we are led by the inward, I'm going to call this the inward confirmation or otherwise denial of the Holy Spirit. Listen, again, today, pastors and spiritual leaders, they are not given to us to replace the Holy Spirit. Ultimately, we should be following God, and we should know the difference between, again, a qualified spiritual leader and somebody who's going to lead us in the things of God, give us the word of God, and not. And you'll find that the Holy Spirit and qualified spiritual people will be in agreement, okay? And so by no means am I saying that a pastor, a spiritual leader, some of us, all we do is talk about our problems to the pastors and spiritual leaders, and we don't spend any time praying for ourselves or seeking the guidance of the Holy Spirit. We need to have a balance. Come on. Somebody say amen, okay? We need the Holy Spirit's involvement. We need him to lead us and to guide us. And that's why Jesus gave him. Jesus gave him to be a guide for our life. In fact, Jesus talks about him in John chapter 13, 14, 15, 16, and 17, and calls him the Spirit of Truth, the one who will lead us and will guide us in truth. And so as we navigate the waters of life, if you will, you're going to find that the Holy Spirit will bear witness with your heart. He will confirm the steps you are taking, or in some cases, he will deny the steps that you're taking. And if he confirms it, you know, hey, I'm on the right track. I'm headed the right way. If he denies it, you say, okay, this is not the right path. And you turn and you go a different way. Pretty simple, right? But we need to understand how the Holy Spirit leads us. I remember, again, another time in my life, I was set on stepping out and pursuing this a certain endeavor. And so I spent a couple weeks fasting and praying my lunch hours where I worked. And after a couple of weeks, I thought, you know what? I haven't got any specifics from the Lord. So my next step is to go get as much information as I can about this endeavor before I go ahead and start taking steps toward it. And so I purposed in my heart that day of prayer, the following day when I went to the office, that I was going to walk into a particular person's office and I was going to begin to start asking them questions about this particular endeavor. And so after 2 weeks of praying, I show up that next day. I go walking down the hall. I turned to the left right into the office. And as soon as I took one step inside of the office, I got this, nope, why you going to do that? And I did an about face. And I walked right on out. And they probably thought I was weird. Oh, he must have forgot where he was going or something. But it was in the process of taking steps, prayerful steps toward that endeavor that the Holy Spirit spoke. I want to say this to you. You can't steer a parked car. And sometimes in life, there are those of us who get out ahead of God, and we're gung ho, and we don't take the necessary time to pray and seek counsel and get information, and we just step out there, and God's like, you're getting ahead of me. And then there are those of us who are way behind God, and God's like, I'm trying to lead you, but you won't move, you won't do anything. You can't steer a parked car. And so what I want to say to you is this, that as you take steps toward the different decisions and toward the different things that you are navigating in life, you're going to get either a confirmation or denial. Sometimes a confirmation is just you have a peace. Sometimes the confirmation is you got that witness on the inside and God's like, yeah! And God's like, yes, this is what I have for you. Other times it's you just got that hesitation. It's just kind of, it's not a feeling, okay? It is the inward witness of the Holy Spirit. In fact, let me take you to this verse in Romans chapter 8, verse number 16. We find a little insight on how the Holy Spirit leads and guides his people. In Romans chapter 8, verse number 16, in fact, in the verse prior to that, he's explaining how we've been given this Holy Spirit who helps us to cry out to God, Abba, Father, the spirit of adoption, not the spirit of fear. And then he says this in verse number 16. He says, the Spirit himself, watch this, bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. Notice what he does. He bears witness with our spirit. Or you could read it this way. He bears witness with our heart that we are children of God. And this is indicative of how God continues to lead his children throughout their life. He will bear witness with you. Now, I want to give you one other example before we close tonight, okay? And that was Paul the Apostle lived by this rule, the confirmation or otherwise denial of the Holy Spirit. In fact, if I could say it this way, Paul went everywhere that he wanted except where the Holy Spirit told him not to go. Again, you can't steer a parked car. And some of us are waiting to hear that audible voice of God. My friend, it's very likely you'll go your entire life and never hear the audible voice of God, dare I say that, because the way God leads is through your spirit, by his spirit, and the word of God, okay? And so it's not that God can't speak audibly, but for the most part, he chooses to lead and guide his people through this inward witness, okay? Paul lived by this rule. Paul the Apostle, you know, the guy who wrote most of the books of the New Testament? Okay, that Paul the Apostle, in Acts chapter 16, verse number 6, if you got your Bible, last verse to turn to, Acts chapter 16, verse number 6, I want to give you just a few moments to turn there because I want you to see this for yourself. Paul went just about everywhere he wanted except where the Holy Spirit told him not to go. Acts chapter 16, verse number 6. It says, now when they had gone through Phrygia and the region of Galatia, they were forbidden by the Holy Spirit to preach the word of God in Asia. Did you catch that? They had gone through a couple of regions and were headed to Asia, and the Holy Spirit forbid them to go. Now you say, wait a second. They were doing what God wanted. They were preaching the gospel. You mean to tell me that God was telling them not to go somewhere and preach the gospel? Absolutely. It says that the Holy Spirit forbade them to go to Asia. After they had come to Mysia, they tried to go into Bithynia, and the Spirit did not permit them. Twice now, he's trying to go into a region and preach the gospel, and the Holy Spirit did not permit them, it says. So passing by Mysia, they came down to Troas, And a vision appeared to Paul in the night. A man of Macedonia stood and pleaded with him, saying, come over to Macedonia and help us. Help us. And watch this next statement here. It says, now after he had seen the vision, immediately we sought to go to Macedonia. Watch this. Concluding that the Lord had called us to preach the gospel to them. And that Macedonian call is where Paul ended up establishing the church at Philippi. It's a wonderful story. But I want to say to you again, Paul the Apostle went just about everywhere he wanted except where the Holy Spirit forbade him or did not permit them. He lived by this rule or this leading of the Holy Spirit that the Holy Spirit would confirm or else deny his endeavors. So today I hope that you've gathered some insight into how the Lord leads. Again, in a time that we're in, especially in this time, God wants to lead us. God wants to guide us. You do not have to navigate life on your own. Okay, today what were our points? That God leads us through the preaching and teaching of the Word of God. That God leads us through He guides us by spiritual leaders. Okay, and then God leads us through the confirmation or denial of the Holy Spirit. Now, there's many other points that we could talk about, but those three are the ones that God gave me for you today. So I hope you got something good from God's Word. If you did, come on, give Him a great shout of praise in your house, in your car, wherever you're at. Amen.
Thank you for listening to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. If this message spoke to you, please share it with us. We'd love to hear from you. You can find more information at www.rockchurch.com.